Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. This is Priya Rakoff, and we're here together for the second session of The Power of Compassionate Communication. I'm the producer and the host of this weekly show, which meets every Thursday Pacific time at 1 o'clock. And I'm also the producer and host of the show, Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60 here on Blog Talk Radio, which will air this Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, thank you for joining me. I am really thrilled to be offering this incredibly valuable information about communication skills. And I'm also thrilled to be able to show you how to create a life full of connection, full of support and love in all areas of your life. It's really my passion to help you to have the kind of self-love that creates inner peace of being, the kind of clarity and courage that helps you to speak your truth, the desire, patience, and curiosity to listen to others and be open to others, the confidence to respond to what people say to you, passion to connect from your heart, and the love within you to work things out between you and other people. These things that I just mentioned are some of the big results of learning and living compassionate communication. I have experienced these personally. I've experienced these fantastic results in my life. And I know many others personally all around the world who have benefited from these results as well. I don't want to keep this a secret, and that is why I am here speaking with you today. So last Thursday, I was the first session of this series, and if you missed it, you can easily get it on the podcast page of my website, which is womeninfullbloom.com. Also, all of these shows are archived here on Blog Talk Radio as well. So last week, I shared a bit of background about myself and what this approach is based on. You can also get that information, and you can get more information about me and this approach on my website as well. And again, that's womeninfullbloom.com. Even though I gave you some background last week, I'm just going to take a few minutes to recap who I am and what this work is based on. Who am I? I'm an interpersonal communication and relationship coach and communication skills teacher. I know that's a mouthful. So what I really want you to know about me right now is that I am truly passionate about helping you and others to have a peaceful and loving inner relationship with yourself and a peaceful, loving, and satisfying relationship with whoever you want to have a good relationship with in your life. And hopefully, that's all the people in your life. The material that I'm presenting in this program is based on nonviolent communication, the language of compassion, which is the life work of world-renowned psychologist Marshall Rosenberg. The acronym for this work is NVC. That's NVC. And it's also referred to these days as compassionate communication, because it's all about compassion. There's a tremendous amount of information available to you about NVC in books that are easily found online or in bookstores, as well as on various websites on the internet. And you can connect with the official NVC organization on its main website, which is cnvc.org. Okay, so I, Priya, have been studying and practicing and sharing this work since the late 90s. And I found it to be an incredibly effective vehicle for improving my personal and business relationships, for healing old wounds of all kinds, for finding inner peace, for resolving inner conflict and outer conflicts between me and other people, for facing challenges with ease and confidence, for improving my ability to choose wisely for myself and create positive, beneficial, fulfilling circumstances in my life. And if that weren't enough, for bringing my spiritual values into my everyday life more fully. I'm not the only one, as I mentioned a moment ago. There's a worldwide community of many people who use this to create similar positive results in their lives as well. That's why I'm presenting this radio show to you through this public venue. The benefits are so powerful and multidimensional, and I want to do my part to spread the word about this powerful, beneficial approach to human relating that you and everybody else in your life can actually benefit from in any situation. Often when we think about communication skills, we only think that they apply to, quote unquote, intimate relationships, like with our partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, and lovers, or that they might perhaps benefit our parenting. But in reality, communication skills are necessary in all areas of life because relating happens everywhere you go. It is part of the fabric of life. The way that we relate creates the kind and the quality of relationships that we have with not only our spouses and our children, but also with the people we work with, our extended family and friends, all the people that help us on a regular basis, like the car mechanic, the hairdresser, the banker, the accountant, the grocer. This list is actually endless when you really think about all the people that you're likely to have ongoing relationships with in your life. Not to mention the frequent encounters with all the people that you don't know, like the people in line with you at the grocery store or you know, at other stores, the people you pass on the street, other parents at soccer games or school events or other people at events in general. Even all the folks in their cars who are sitting next to you at the intersection waiting for the light just like you, you're in some kind of a relationship with them. We are constantly in varying degrees of relatedness with everybody, whether or not we're speaking to other people or whether or not we're even acknowledging them, we're always somehow related. So it's a good thing to become aware of the how you are being with all of these people around you so that you can make a conscious choice about the kind of life you want to create for yourself. The how creates the quality of your experiences and the potential for success and fulfillment. Because if you want to have more peace and love, or more cooperation, or more support, all of these qualities that enhance life, it starts with the how that comes from within you, and the how that gets expressed through your communication, both through your presence or the vibe that you put out, how you project your energy, so to speak, as well as through the words that you actually speak and the way that you listen to people. Compassionate communication helps you to cultivate the awareness of this how and gives you tools that enable you to make the kind of communication and behavior choices that create the quality of life that you want. Okay, that's my pitch for why it's so important to learn and practice compassionate communication. So now let's take a look for a moment at what communication actually is. Communication is a bridge. It's a bridge between parts of yourself. It's a bridge between you and other people. It's a bridge between you and the animals around you, the plants around you. It's a bridge between you and the circumstances of your life. It's a bridge between you and God or spirit or source. What you build this bridge with is what is going on inside of you. Your thoughts, feelings, sensations about yourself and others, about circumstances and everything else that's going on around you. This is also known as the conversation that you're having in your head, the feelings that arise inside of you in response to those conversations that you're having in your head, and the needs and desires that arise as a result of all of that. Communication also involves how you express that to others. That's a big part of communication, huh? what you say and how you listen to others and what actions you take in regards to what transpires in a conversation. And it, like I said before, it's not only the words, but it's the vibe or the energy that you project and how your body moves. And communication is circular. It's not linear. And what I mean by that is it cycles from the inside of you, what you're thinking, feeling, and sensing, to the outside, what you say and how you express that, and back again, and it goes around and around from the inside to the outside. For example, you say something to someone and they listen, and hopefully they take it in, think about it, and then they respond. And you listen and take it in and think about what they say, and then you respond. And we go around and around this way with each other. And if communication is successful, it is actually a deepening spiral, because if you really let in what other people say, it might change you. And it might change what you then express as a result of having taken in what they say, and that in turn changes your relationship. And the two of you get to change in the moment that you're relating in ways that create the kind of relationship that actually works for you in the moment that it's happening. It's a very direct experience with life. So this change process, in my opinion, is actually what makes life really interesting, rich, and magical. And if there's no real taking in of what the other person is saying, then conversations often become flat. Communication reaches a standstill, and relationships suffer. Now, if you're not sure of what I'm talking about, stick with me, and hopefully it will become clear as we go deeper into this material. Last week, I also spoke about what compassion and empathy are and why it's important to open yourself to living and relating through a compassionate mind and heart and extending one's compassion through the practice of empathy. And so now I'm also going to give you a brief recap of this as an introduction to our topic for today, which is self-love in the form of self-compassion and self-empathy. In essence, from my perspective, compassion is the ability to relate to somebody else's experience without judgment, without interpretation. It's the ability to relate to somebody else's experience, to the essence of it, of another's humanness, and what it might be like for them to be going through whatever circumstances they might be traversing. It's the ability to open your mind to another's life circumstance and open your heart to how they might be according to their unique version of life in that circumstance, as different and odd as it might be from your own. That's what compassion is. Now, empathy is the ability to extend this understanding through yourself and through the way that you relate with that person. Why this is so important is because compassion is truly one of our natural states. It's an important part of who we are. It is a natural expression of our heart connection with each other, of the oneness of our shared humanity, and it is the expression of our natural state of love, which I truly believe is essential for our existence. So how is compassion expressed in normal, everyday, colloquial life? It's often expressed through empathy and acts of comforting, like a hug, a tissue handed to someone who's crying, a warm hand on someone's shoulder, the simple act of saying, I understand, it hurts, huh? Perhaps offering warm food to somebody who's cold, or feeling tears welling up when you're witnessing somebody else's pain. We all know these experiences of empathy. And even though empathy is generally associated with pain or with somebody else's suffering, compassion and empathy can also be shared in the celebrations of life as well. Right? When toasts to somebody's success, everybody applauds and cheers. That's a form of sharing empathy. Sharing empathy about the celebration of life. Okay, so when we're cut off from this natural state of compassion and the ability to empathize with each other, we feel emotional distance and disconnection. Sometimes a harshness even, or a coldness, or a kind of a sense of arrogance, aloofness. And it could also go into meanness, and in extreme situations, it can become cruelty. We humans inflict a lot of suffering on one another because of the closing off of our natural state of compassion. And since the purpose of compassionate communication is to create more authentic love, more real support, more meaningful and heartfelt connection, compassion and empathy are important foundational elements. Okay, so now on to self-compassion and self-empathy. And self-compassion is also very important in life. It supports a strong root of self-connection and self-love. Now, why is self-connection or self-love so important? Because so much suffering also comes from the lack of self-connection, comes from the lack of self-love. Even being cut off from the experience of the source of love that comes from within oneself. Now, these days, there's a lot of talk about self-care and self-love. It's a really popular topic, and rightly so, because there's so much stress and suffering in today's modern world. We live in an I'm not good enough world. We live in a world of competition and comparison. We live in a world of I don't have enough. So taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves is really crucial because we are enough. We really are. We're all uniquely whole and enough in ourselves. And loving oneself can bring you back to this knowing, which is deeply relaxing and healing. So a certain amount of self-care is actually built into our gut-level survival instinct mechanism. But without self-love, self-care is not fully conscious, and we don't necessarily make choices that support our full thriving, our full well-being. For example, we know to eat, but we might not have enough self-love to eat food that's actually good for us, or even remember to eat at all when we need to, or even something simple like wearing clothes that feel good on our bodies, or wearing clothes that help us to be successful in our life choices. This takes self-love, which I also call loving self-care. So some of the results some other results of lack of loving self-care is that it might become difficult and stressful to offer care to other people, to support other people, to connect meaningfully with other people, to share your love, or to maintain a general state of health and well-being even, to take care of your physical health or your emotional well-being. Self-care is instinctual. Loving self-care is conscious awareness of and tending to preciousness of your life. Does that sound good? I know that's what most of us want to be giving to the people that we love in our life. So why not give it to ourselves? Cultivating compassion and empathy for oneself develops this kind of loving self-care. So I want to say what it's not, what self-love isn't, because generally speaking, when we think of self-love, it has a bad rap because it's often thought of in the realm of narcissism. Like we think of people who love themselves as narcissistic, or they're full of themselves, or they're totally self-centered, they're egoistic. I'm not talking about that. That kind of self-love is what I call false self-love. It's self-aggrandizement in the face of discounting others. The kind of self-love that I'm talking about is the kind of self-love, is the kind of love that you would give your beloved partner, that you would give your children, that you would have for your spiritual life. What I'm talking about is forming a tender, loving, and caring relationship with yourself, full of compassion and empathy. Last week, I introduced the term loving positive regard in relationship to how you were being with other people in your life. Self-love is expressed also through loving positive regard for oneself. Now, most of us are in an okay state of self-love, you know, although we don't really go around thinking about it too much because we have enough self-love to support loving relationships and to support caring for ourselves, sort of. And I say sort of because most of us are also tortured by internal judgments, criticisms about different parts of ourselves, put-downs, internal inhibitions, embarrassments, internal taboos against showing certain parts of ourselves. And these are mostly based on what I call self-deprecating opinions about ourselves, disliking of ourselves. Many of us feel that we don't even have enough love in our lives, even if we have a spouse or children, even if we have close friends. And many of us are in a chronic state of longing for more love, longing for more connection, longing for more attention and affection. All of those really good things that contribute to our well-being. Partially, that's because we're not loving ourselves. So just take a moment to think about something that you don't like about yourself. Really hone in on that thing. Maybe it's some part of yourself you don't like or some behavior that really bugs you. Really think about how you don't like this about yourself. Can you feel love while you're doing that? Can you feel your heart while you're not liking yourself? It's not so easy, is it? It's almost like those are mutually exclusive. And if you want to get a really good read on your capacity to love yourself and source love from within, try looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, I love you. And really mean it. It's a great exercise because when you do that, you will instantly know what is in your way of loving yourself fully. The way that you would like someone else to love you. So I'd like to propose a fun experiment right now. And here it is. If you're in a place where you can close your eyes, go ahead and do that. If not, just turn your attention as best you can inward. Now take a deep breath. Breathe in all the way and fill yourself up until you feel your breath stretching you out like a balloon. And let your breath out with a sigh or just let it all out, releasing all your tension. And do that again. Take a really deep breath and fill yourself up like a balloon, stretching yourself out from the inside. Stretch yourself out. And exhale, release. release another layer of tension. And one more time, take a deep breath in. Breathe in all the way. Fill up your lungs like a balloon. And exhale. Let your awareness drop into the center of your being. Drop all the way in. And feel the love that's there. You know it. You felt this love before. It's there inside of you. It belongs to you. Stay in this deep place inside yourself and say to yourself, I love you. The way that you would say it to a lover. And settle in to that love that's deep in your core. Can I slowly come out? And as you come out, notice if you can bring that feeling with you. Okay, did that feel good? Or maybe it was a bit weird. If it was strange for you, I thank you for experimenting, and I invite you to hang in there with me because it really does feel good to have love and compassion for yourself. And it really does feel good to connect with the deep love that is actually yours in there. You know, even though we all have self-love, most of us, hopefully, most of us also go around, like I said before, pretty much in a constant state of what I call a low-level negative opinion. And we're slightly cut off from fully loving ourselves. It doesn't have to be this way. Not at all. Because love and compassion are your birthright. And you innately know these states of being. Just need to remember that you deserve to love yourself. You know the cliche, you can't truly love someone unless you love yourself. It is a cliche. And it's true. It's true in part, and it isn't true in part. Let's face it. We've all been really beat up by life in different ways. Excuse me. And we've gotten hurt. And we've gotten shut down. So often it is easier to love someone else than ourselves. Much easier to love somebody else. Because many of us don't feel worthy of love. And also, we all need help in coming back to this natural state of love more fully. So receiving love from other people, allowing other people to love us, receiving it from the outside really does help. But ultimately, unless we can really connect with the source of love inside of ourselves, feel it, and give it to ourselves through having a compassionate attitude towards ourselves and being empathetic with ourselves, we continuously go around searching for it outside of ourselves, hankering for it, feeling disconnected from it, and being obsessed with getting it from somewhere outside of us, which is really painful. And I know that everybody knows this kind of pain, a certain kind of loneliness and longing. So unless you can really connect with the love inside of yourself and give it to yourself, it's going to be pretty difficult to give it to another person on an ongoing basis, or to allow yourself to be truly nurtured by a loving relationship. I know that might sound like bad news, but the good news is that all it takes is to remember that it's inside of you and to take the steps to connect. And the compassionate communication skill sets can give you ways to do this and to show you steps to how to reconnect with the self-love. So self-compassion is the ability to be in relationship with yourself and all parts of yourself, part that wants to diet and the part that wants to eat the chocolate cake, for example. All of the parts of you with a loving, tender embrace. This kind of compassion, it breeds self-understanding, self-acceptance, self-acknowledgement, relaxation, self-forgiveness, self-healing, and meaningful connection with oneself. And all of these qualities are life-serving to the max. So one's ability to be compassionate towards oneself and give oneself empathy or whatever, for whatever you're going through, is different than self-connection or self-awareness, although it is really important to be able to be self-aware and self-connected in order to have compassion. But it is possible to be self-aware without compassion. And that often shows up as internal harshness towards oneself, criticism of oneself, and judgment of oneself. This is often felt or called self-consciousness, which is different than self-awareness. So here's an example of an inner dialogue that demonstrates lack of compassion towards yourself. Just to give you a real-life example. Somebody's putting the groceries away. I'm putting the groceries away, let's say. And I drop the milk. Here's an example of lack of, damn, I dropped the milk again. I'm such a klutz. I hate when I do things like this. Now I'm going to have to clean this mess up and I'm so tired. Why can't I just be more careful? Okay, that's critical. It's demanding. It's judgmental. It's a put down. It's harsh. Here's the same situation and an inner response that is compassionate and empathetic. Oh, I dropped the milk again. I'm so tired. And now I have to clean this up. I'm so stressed out right now. I'm trying to do too many things at once. I think I'll just throw a towel down on the floor and sit down for a minute and rest. And here's another example. I'm getting up in the morning and then go to the scale to see how much I weigh because I'm supposed to be on a diet. So without compassion, I might say, oh, no, I've gained more weight. I'm never going to lose this weight that I want to. I'm such a glutton. I'm such a loser. I can't even get control of myself. What a failure. No one is going to want me now. It's useless. And here's an inner dialogue with compassion. Wow, I gained more weight. That was a hard dinner party last night. All that great food and wine, I just couldn't stop myself from overeating. I had a great time, but wow, now I've gained 3 pounds. I feel so forlorn about this process. It's so hard. I really do want to lose this weight. I know that I'll feel better. I just need some support. Can you relate in some way to these different examples? Are some ways that you judge yourself? And I want to remind you that often judgment and criticism goes by so quickly. It's a split second. It's programmed into us, our negativity. So it goes by really fast. So catching these judgments is a skill. Catching yourself judging yourself is a skill. Once you catch yourself in a judgment, stop for a moment. Notice that you're judging yourself. Have some empathy for the fact that you have to deal with this inner judge. And then acknowledge what you've been judging yourself for. Right in that moment, you can change judgment into empathy. Okay, so what are some things that you're longing to be acknowledged for? This is another way of practicing self-compassion and empathy. And when you think of some of these things that you're longing to be acknowledged for, go ahead and acknowledge yourself. Maybe it's something that you're proud of, that you take for granted. Maybe it's something that you're longing for, that you discount. The simple act of acknowledging yourself stimulates self-compassion and self-love. So what parts of yourself are you trying to disown but would really just love some acceptance for from somebody else? This is a little bit harder. This is more shadowy material, like what part of you would you really rather not have? Right. Could be a part of your body, could be a part of your behavior, could be the way you think about yourself. Right. Just notice that. And give that part of you some acceptance for its existence. Invite that part of you back into your whole self. Having this kind of compassion for yourself is also so important in the context of conversations that happen between you and other people, not just within your own head. And all conversations, big conversations, little conversations, because all kinds of stuff happens throughout the day that can trigger self-judgment, self-criticism, and defensiveness. For example, if your spouse is irritated with you for forgetting your anniversary, and I know this has happened to a lot of you, you could belittle yourself, feel terrible about yourself. You could get defensive about that and shut down to yourself, and then shut down to your spouse. And go around moping, withdraw off into your corner, or you could even create an argument about it, trying to defend yourself so you don't feel so bad about yourself. Does that sound familiar? Or you can feel how important your spouse is to you and how sad you are for forgetting, because you really want to show your partner how much you care about them. When you do that, your heart might open to yourself and you might become more open and understanding of your partner's feelings. And in this example, self-compassion and empathy creates openness, vulnerability, transparency. And vulnerability and transparency are the willingness to expose oneself with tenderness. And it also creates the possibility for a deeper connection, because there's more realness. And even if your spouse isn't able to let go of their irritation, of their upset, enough to hold the space for them to have their feelings, to be with them. So this creates more connection. In the compassionate communication skill set, we actually use the term self-empathy. And it means to have the capacity to be in relationship with oneself with compassion versus judgment, criticism, and all the like, discount, etc. So empathy is a natural state, and we all know it. It's just a matter of remembering that we deserve to give it to ourselves, just like we would give it to another person freely. Give empathy to yourself in the form of acknowledging and accepting your feelings, whatever they are, your needs, whatever they are, the sensations that you're having in your body, your thoughts, your choices, without judgment, without criticism, and without demands on yourself to change. And if you practice this, I guarantee you your life will change for the better. You will begin to feel the love that is your birthright. Give empathy to yourself in the form of acknowledging whatever you need acceptance for. The next time you hear your inner voice making a comment, notice if it's a judgment or a criticism, or if it's an acknowledgement. And if it is a criticism, stop. Notice what you're criticizing yourself for, and instead, give yourself acknowledgement. We're all at differing stages of self-love and development. We're all at different stages of being able to give ourselves compassion and give ourselves empathy for yourself, for wherever you're at. And remember that you are a work in progress, and you get to be the project manager, the architect, the artist, the creator, the program director. You get to do this for yourself, and you get to love yourself in it. Okay, it's about time for us to wrap this talk up for today, and I want to thank you for being here with me and for choosing to tune in. Really, it's my intention to plant seeds of curiosity, inspiration, and growth. And I hope that what you have received here today in your listening helps you to grow new shoots of loving kindness and compassion and self-empathy towards yourself, obviously. And it will help you to grow that towards other people and in every aspect of your life. Since this is a call-in show, I'm going to, if you're on the line and you would like to call in, I'm going to give you the number to call in, which is 347-857-3851. That's 347-856-3851. I welcome you to call in if you have a question, if you need some clarification, or if you have a comment about how you experience self-empathy in your life. And if you are familiar with compassionate communication and you'd like to call in and share how it's helped you in your life, I welcome you to do that too. So we're going to wait a minute or so. You don't have to say your name, and so nobody's going to know who you are. And this is anonymous, and I'll give you another minute. It's 347-857-3851. Okay, so there's nobody calling in, so I'm going to close the show. And thank you very much. Don't forget, you can find out more about me on my website, which is www.womeninfullbloom.com. If you go onto my website, go onto the podcast page of my website, you'll be able to hear all the archives of this show and other shows that I'm doing. And also tune in this Friday to blogtalkradio.com for my Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60, which is all about what we go through as women as we enter the wisdom phase of our lives. All right, thank you so much for listening. See you next week. And many blessings to you all. Bye-bye.